And just over 2 months ago, then-Senator Nick Xenophon farewelled federal parliament to return to South Australian politics. It was a political gamble that appears to be paying off so far. The latest news poll survey published by The Australian this week shows Nick Xenophon's SA Best Party is more popular among voters than either the Labor or Liberal Party. And 46% of people surveyed said that they prefer Nick Xenophon as Premier. The South Australian state election isn't until March next year, but this is already stirring things up for the major parties. Nick Xenophon joins us now. Welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
SA Best didn't even exist at the time of the last news poll. You've now got, it seems, 32% of voters in South Australia saying they prefer you to the Liberals or the ALP. Pretty stunning result. What do you think about it?
What I think about it is that there's a lot of work to do between now and the 85 or 86 sleeps before the state election. We are effectively a startup. We are disrupting the major parties. We don't have the resources of the major parties. We will be spending a fraction of what the major parties will be spending in their election campaigns. We don't have the backing of big unions that Labor has or big business that the Liberal has. And I see that big business seems to have united against me in an article in the Financial Review this morning. I'm a lotus leaf jump. I'm not sure what that means. But the issue is South Australians want change. They're sick of the broken state of South Australian politics. They see a government that deserves to lose and an opposition that doesn't deserve to win.
But one of them ultimately will, because as you're saying, you don't want to be the Premier. You won't have enough candidates running to form government. You want a hung parliament situation with you holding the balance of power.
What I've actually said is that the ambition is to run 20 candidates. Interestingly, I think more people have been coming forward in the last 24 hours. But what I've said to the media here in South Australia is that we, SA Best, plans to run 20 candidates in the lower house. We'll be running in those seats to win them. We'll be running very hard. And it will be roughly an equivalent of Labor and Liberal seats. And that should put us in, I believe, at the very least, a balance of power situation. Now, when I'm asked about the whole issue of being Premier, it's really people are getting ahead of themselves because we need more candidates. So I guess you could ask me in a month or two whether we would actually have more than 20 candidates. But at this stage, the ambition is to have 20 candidates by mid-January, and we'll take it from there. But it's a resources issue. We don't want to spread ourselves too thin. We're not going to make the same mistakes as other fledgling political parties.
But let's talk about the more realistic scenario in which you did have the balance of power. Which of the two parties would you choose? You've said that one of them is not fit to retain government. The other is not ready for government.
Or not fit to take government. It depends on a whole range of factors, and that's when I was.
What are they? You've got the opportunity to tell us.
Well, it depends on a whole range of factors. It really is too premature to say which side we would support. It depends on so many factors, and this will be an election like no other that South Australia has seen, and probably that Australia has ever seen, because it's a genuine three-way race.
Okay, but what are those factors?
The factors, a whole range of factors. We will be.
That's the third time you've said a whole range of factors. What are those factors?
It includes the number of seats that a party wins, the number of votes that a party wins. So you need to take into account the popular will of the electorate in terms of what most South Australians actually want. It includes the policies that we say will be important to reform government in terms of good governance, in terms of making the parliament work much harder, to make sure that the parliament does its job to scrutinise the executive arm of government and have better processes in place so that we don't get the sort of debacles we've seen in South Australia, whether it's an aged care facility scandal at Oakden, which has been a national scandal, the TAFE SA scandal, which has left potentially thousands of students in the lurch, and the way that government has mismanaged the health system, to name but a few. So they're the sort of factors that we will look at. And, of course, our gambling policy, the issue of the impact of poker machines, is one that is a core issue for SA Best. And when we announced that policy early next year. We'd like to see what the major parties will say about that, but we fully expect that they'll both be in lockstep to a large degree with the Australian Hotels Association, who've already started campaigning by what I regard as a pretty disgraceful push poll that they've been doing recently.
So I'm still not clear, based on what you've just said, about how you'd go about determining which of the major parties you'd work with or support to form a government. I mean, it's clear that there are some problems in South Australia. You've outlined those to us just now. We know that you're big on the issue of gambling reform. Are you saying that whichever party sort of came to you with the best negotiating positions on some of those issues would be the one that you would go with? Is that the sort of the broad principle?
It's a combination of that, the number of votes and seats they have, and the ability to work with that party. Now, I know the opposition leader, Stephen Marshall, keeps saying that he wouldn't do business with SA Best. I think he's being quite silly when he says that. I have a thoroughly decent relationship with both the Premier and opposition leader. It doesn't mean I fundamentally disagree with their approaches to policies and the way to govern or the way they would govern, but I'm prepared to work with both sides for the betterment of the state, and that includes the opposition, notwithstanding that Stephen Marshall keeps protesting, I think, too much that he wouldn't enter into an arrangement with me. But Hamish, it's still too early. I still need to win the seat of Hartley, which I'm contesting. We need to win other seats.
Sure. I think these are legitimate questions, though. The election is due for March. Clearly, these polls point to, as you say, a fair amount of disruption in the electoral process. Put the question about the situation in South Australia to the Federal Education Minister, Simon Birmingham, yesterday. I want you to listen to his response.
Jay Weatherill and the Labor Party have an energy policy. I disagree with parts of it, but I acknowledge they have an energy policy. Stephen Marshall and the Liberal Party have an energy policy. Nick Xenophon doesn't. South Australians really need to think carefully before next year's state election about the three choices, and indeed assess whether they really know enough about what it is that third choice is actually offering.
So what are you actually offering in terms of energy policy, Nick Xenophon?
The energy policy will be released next year in plenty of time for the election. And in terms of my history with energy policy, back in 2009, Malcolm Turnbull, when he was opposition leader, and I jointly commissioned Frontier Economics to come up with an alternative plan in terms of reducing emissions to keep energy prices down. That was something the Liberal Party didn't support or walked away from, and Malcolm Turnbull lost his position as leader. Labor dismissed it, but then embraced it some 6 or 7 years later. So I do have history in terms of looking at the issue of energy policy carefully. We would want any energy policy to be modelled to go through a rigorous process, unlike the Liberals' policy, which basically fell apart within 24 hours when the alleged savings largely evaporated. So we're going to do this properly, in a deliberative way, and what we will be offering, I believe, will be much more credible than what the major parties are offering.
Can we just be clear, have you actually started doing that?
Yes, we have.
Okay, so how long until you release whatever the policy is going to be?
Well, it'll be in late January, early February, before the writs are issued, in my view, in plenty of time for the electorate to analyse it, for it to be dissected by all the media, the major parties. But we want to get it right because that is a key issue in South Australia, the fact that it's driving away industry, that consumers are paying too much, we have unreliability of supply and too many blackouts. But one of the things that I negotiated before I left the federal parliament was to get a concessional equity loan for the solar thermal plant at Port Augusta. That $110 million concessional equity loan has actually been key to the tipping point of getting that $650 million project off the ground. And and that will make a big difference, a significant difference to energy security in South Australia.
Looking on the SA Best website, there's a bit of detail about, you know, statements about what you want to do, cutting government waste, reducing the size of parliament. But you also talk about wanting essential services like power and water back under public control. Where are the costings for that?
Well, what that means is that in terms of essential services, you need to make sure that we have a regulatory framework where consumers and businesses actually are in a much stronger position. I think that there's been price gouging and gaming of the system in terms of the way the electricity market is operating. I think there is a very real concern about the power of generators and retailers basically acting and being one and the same.
No doubt there's concerns. I mean, is there a cost attached to this, or are you saying that this comes for free?
I think the cost will probably, nothing comes for free. The cost will be one that it's a question of shifting costs so that consumers get a better deal, particularly large electricity users. It's a way that the market is operating that is absolutely critical, that needs to be looked at. And what it means is that there needs to be, I think, a firmer regulatory framework so the consumers have a better go.
So you won't give us an indication of where the costings are or when they might be made
publicly available? We're going to, well, yes, I did. I said that will be in January, February. And I think that the key issue here is that we will be getting it costed, we'll be getting it modelled, and we'll be letting key experts in this field looking at it very closely, which I think is essential for a credible policy.
It's going to be a busy January for you by the sound of things.
I've got Christmas Day off and that's it.
Nick Xenophon, thank you for your time this morning. Merry Christmas as well.
Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.
Nick Xenophon is leader of SA Best.